Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Mario Ritter, Brian Lynn, and Dorothy Gundy. Later, Kelly Jean Kelly will present America's Presidents. But first, here is Mario Ritter.
Former United States President Jimmy Carter has traveled the world observing elections to find out if they are fair. Carter also is a former Democratic governor in the American state of Georgia. Now, he is turning attention to an election in his home state. He is asking Republican candidate for governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, to resign from his current position as Secretary of State. As Secretary of State, Kemp oversees the state's elections, including his own for governor against Democrat Stacey Abrams. Carter wrote, "Popular confidence is threatened not only by the undeniable racial discrimination of the past, but also because you are now overseeing the election in which you are a candidate." He added in a personal letter sent to Kemp, "I urge you to step aside and hand over to a neutral authority the responsibility of overseeing the governor's election." Carter has offered his support to Abrams. In a recent debate with Abrams, Kemp said that local officials run the elections process. However, Kemp's critics have accused him of using his office to make it harder for minorities and other Democratic Party supporters to vote. They said Kemp's office held up 53,000 voter registrations under the state's new law for registration by mail. Under the law, a misspelling or a difference between a family name and a married name can cause a registration to be rejected. Kemp answered that he is carrying out state law. He also said those would-be voters could still vote if they present acceptable identification to clear up doubts. Kemp's Republican supporters accused Abrams and the Democrats of wanting to give voting rights to illegal immigrants in advertising seen around the state. The state of Georgia is not the only American state with new laws that, critics say, make it harder for people to vote. The Brennan Center for Justice at New York University Law School says that 24 states passed voting measures after the 2010 election. The center studies issues including voting rights and campaign reform in America. The group reported that 13 states have passed restrictive voter identification laws. 11 states have laws that make it harder for citizens to register. 7 states have reduced early voting. And 3 states have passed laws making it harder to restore voting rights to people who have committed crimes. The U.S. Supreme Court recently declined to block a North Dakota law requiring voters to show identification with current street addresses. Activists argue that the law could prevent 19,000 Native Americans who live on reservations from voting because they often lack street addresses. In Kansas, the American Civil Liberties Union is bringing legal action against local officials for moving the only voting place outside of Dodge City. The group says the move makes it harder for the city's Hispanic population to vote. The city also sent new voters, mainly Hispanics, the wrong address. Kansas, along with Tennessee, Arizona, Alabama, and Georgia, have also passed laws requiring proof of citizenship in order to register to vote. The laws are being considered by courts. Supporters of the voting restrictions say that these measures are necessary to prevent unlawful voting, and they say the new laws increase public trust in the electoral process. In 2017, President Donald Trump created a commission to study the issue of unlawful voting. After the 2016 presidential election, Trump had said that millions of illegal ballots had been completed. The commission, however, ended its work a year later without finding evidence of widespread illegal voting. I'm Mario Ritter.
The man accused of killing 11 people at a synagogue in Pittsburgh reportedly left messages on a small social media service. The suspect, Robert Bowers, was charged with 29 crimes, including hate crimes, related to the attack at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The attack on the Jewish Religious Center also injured at least 6 others, including 4 police officers. On the morning of the shooting, a person using the name of Robert Bowers posted an anti-Semitic message on a social media service called Gab. The message targeted a Jewish nonprofit group called Hias. The group seeks to help refugees around the world. The message said, "Hias likes to bring invaders in that kill our people." The post continued, "I can't sit by and watch my people get slaughtered. I'm going in." Officials said Bowers called out, "All Jews must die," before he fired at people inside the synagogue. The Southern Poverty Law Center is a nonprofit civil rights group. It said an examination of the suspect's social media activity on Gab showed he had posted or reposted content at least 68 times. It said the postings often dealt with numerous anti-Semitic conspiracy theories long publicized by neo-Nazi and white nationalist groups. By Monday, Gab was no longer available on the Internet after several companies supporting the site cut off services for policy violations. The Gab service was launched in 2016 by Andrew Torba. He said his purpose was to provide another social media choice for people facing restrictions by other services. The site gained popularity as Twitter and Facebook sought to ban members of a movement known as the alt-right. The alt-right is a far-right movement that publicizes extreme ideas, mainly on the internet. Twitter, Facebook, and other social media have said bans are carried out when users violate policies against hate speech or threats of violence, not because of their political views. On its Twitter page, Gab describes itself as built, owned, and funded by the people, with a mission to defend individual liberty and free expression online. The service lets users read and write messages called Gabs. The company that hosted the site, GoDaddy, said it decided to end its service because Gab had violated a policy against promoting violence. Payment company PayPal also banned Gab from using its services. Apple and Google blocked app sales of Gab for violating hate speech policies. In an interview published Tuesday on the internet, Torba said he was horrified when he learned the shooting suspect had used Gab. He said Bowers clearly violated a company policy that bans threats of violence and terrorism. But Torba said he did not know about Bowers or his postings until after the attack. Torba said his company had fully cooperated with U.S. law enforcement officials since the attack to bring justice to an alleged terrorist. He added, "Because of the data we provided, they now have plenty of evidence for their case." In a statement, Torba called the actions against his site and new criticism after the Pittsburgh shooting unfair. He says the site simply aims to defend free expression for all individuals. "Social media often brings out the best and the worst of humanity," his statement said. He added that he was working to find new partner companies to support the service so it can return to the internet. "Gab isn't going anywhere," he wrote. I'm Brian Lynn.
French officials say famed musician Yo-Yo Ma will perform at the Arc de Triomphe in Paris in a World War I anniversary event. The war ended 100 years ago on November 11, 1918. More than 16 million people were killed, 9 million of them soldiers. The fighting lasted almost 4 years, 4 months. At the time of the fighting, World War I was often spoken of as the war to end all wars. Now it is often called the Great War. Joseph Zimet is director of France's first World War Centenary Mission. He says Ma will lead a field of great international artists during the November 11th ceremony close to the tomb of the unknown soldier. The Chinese-American artist Ma, who received the United States Presidential Medal of Freedom back in 2010, was born in Paris in 1955. A group of young musicians called the European Union Youth Orchestra has also been invited to perform. They will play Ravel's Bolero at the event. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Today we are talking about John Fitzgerald Kennedy. He was also known as Jack Kennedy, or by the letters JFK. When he took office in 1961, Kennedy was 43 years old. He was the youngest elected president in United States history. Kennedy was also the first Catholic to be elected U.S. president. Kennedy's youth and religion raised questions in the minds of some Americans that Kennedy could lead the country. They wondered if he would always follow the policies of the Roman Catholic Church. But Kennedy became well known as a statesman and popular with people around the world. He was intelligent, funny, and good-looking. For many, Kennedy was a sign of new energy and hope. The public was shocked then when the president's term was violently cut short. John F. Kennedy was born in 1917 near Boston, Massachusetts. He was the second of nine children. Both his parents were Catholic, with ancestors from Ireland. Many years ago, Irish Catholics faced discrimination in the United States. But the Kennedy family was also politically powerful and wealthy. As a result, young Jack Kennedy grew up in big, beautiful houses and received a top-quality education. His family did not suffer during the Great Depression, as many Americans had. Instead, the Kennedy children swam, sailed boats, and played sports. Jack also enjoyed reading books and following the news. His older brother Joe wanted to enter politics, but Jack said he might become a teacher or writer. When he was a college student at Harvard, Jack wrote a long paper about Britain in the years leading up to World War II. A version of it was published in 1940 as a book. The war changed Jack's thinking about his future plans. During World War II, both Jack and his older brother joined the U.S. Navy. In the Pacific, Jack became a hero. He won medals for leading some of his troops to safety after a Japanese warship struck a boat they were on. But Joe was killed. In 1944, his airplane exploded over Europe. When the war ended, Jack's father urged him to follow his brother's dream of succeeding in politics. Jack agreed, and he set his sights on becoming the country's first Catholic president. Kennedy was nominated as the Democratic Party's candidate, and he was elected in 1960. he easily defeated Vice President Richard Nixon, the Republican candidate, in the Electoral College. But Kennedy won only narrowly in the popular vote. Though he was young, Kennedy brought experience to the job. In addition to being a naval officer, Kennedy had been a member of the U.S. House of Representatives, as well as a senator from Massachusetts. He also published a Pulitzer Prize-winning book called Profiles in Courage. And he had become a husband and father. He married a wealthy, well-educated woman who had been working as a newspaper photographer. Her name was Jacqueline Bouvier, but she was sometimes called Jackie. She became pregnant 5 times, but only 2 of her children would survive, a daughter named Carolyn and a son, John F. Kennedy, Jr. The family of 4 moved into the White House in January 1961. On the day he was sworn in, Kennedy gave a speech that many people still remember today. It celebrated the new generation of Americans and promised to pay any price for liberty. Supporters of the new president loved his energy and sense of hope. In his most famous line, Kennedy said, "Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." Many young people remembered that line when they volunteered for a program Kennedy created in 1961, the Peace Corps. Other Americans remembered the line when they watched 2 Apollo 11 astronauts walk on the moon in 1969. Kennedy strongly supported the country's space program. He promised that Americans would land on the moon by the end of the 1960s, and they did. Kennedy also supported efforts to improve civil rights across the U.S., although his administration moved slowly. Calls to end legalized racism were growing stronger during Kennedy's time in office, particularly because of the leadership of Martin Luther King, Jr. In June of 1963, King spoke to hundreds of thousands of people at a civil rights protest called the March on Washington. He told the crowd that he dreamed, "My 4 little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." The March on Washington, among other events, showed the power of the civil rights movement. In late 1963, President Kennedy sent a civil rights bill to Congress and spoke to Americans about the injustice that remained in the country. The Peace Corps, the space race, and civil rights are all part of Kennedy's legacy. Kennedy is also remembered for several troubling international events. In one, known as the Bay of Pigs, Americans supported Cuban refugees in an effort to oust the government of Fidel Castro. Not only did the refugees fail, but Kennedy's government was found to be lying about their support of the effort. And Kennedy faced off with the leader of the Soviet Union, Nikita Khrushchev. In 1962, American leaders learned that the Soviets had hidden nuclear weapons in Cuba. The missiles would be able to reach the U.S. mainland easily. Kennedy ordered a blockade of Cuba. People around the world held their breath as they waited to see if the U.S. and the Soviet Union would launch a nuclear war. They did not. After several very tense weeks, Kennedy and Khrushchev reached an agreement that ended the crisis. Kennedy went on to reach an agreement with the Soviet Union and Britain to limit nuclear weapons testing. He said the agreement was one of the presidential acts of which he was most satisfied. Historians still debate Kennedy's actions and what else might have happened during his presidency. They wonder especially what he would have done about the increasing conflict in Vietnam. but Kennedy did not live to finish his first term. By November 22, 1963, Kennedy had been president for just under 3 years. The next election was still a year away, but it was time to start campaigning again. So the president and his wife went to Dallas, Texas, to connect with voters. They were riding in a car with other official vehicles that drove slowly through the center of the city. Jackie, and the Texas governor and his wife sat in a convertible, an automobile without protection over the seats. The president was waving at the crowd. Suddenly, several gunshots were fired. The president was struck twice. The governor was also hit and injured. Kennedy was hurried to a hospital, but doctors were unable to help him. News reporters announced his death to a stunned public. Hours later, Jackie Kennedy appeared next to the former vice president, now president, Lyndon Johnson. She still wore the clothes with her husband's blood on them. The events remain intense in the minds of many Americans who were alive at the time. The images remain easily recognizable parts of American history. The pictures of Kennedy's family at his funeral are especially memorable. In one, 3-year-old John holds up his arm and salutes his father's casket. Attention quickly turned to the gunman. It was reportedly a 24-year-old man named Lee Harvey Oswald. Shortly after the president and the governor were shot, Oswald shot a policeman who questioned him. Oswald was eventually detained. Officials planned to bring him to court for the death of the president and the policeman. But on the way from the police station to the jail, a local nightclub owner shot and killed Oswald. As a result, the case never came to trial. Many Americans believe the reason for the attack has yet to be clarified. Historians have a mixed reaction to Kennedy's years as a president, although their opinions are generally positive. His image with the public suffered some years after his death because of reports that he had romantic relationships with women other than Jackie throughout his marriage. In time, the public also learned about Kennedy's health problems. He suffered from severe back pain and Addison's disease. He often used strong medicine to help control the conditions. The health problems are at odds with Kennedy's image of health and love of sports. Yet even with these new details, Kennedy is still one of the country's best-remembered leaders. He was a charismatic man whose career influenced many other Americans to enter public service. Americans also remember his stylish, cultured wife. Jackie Kennedy compared the Kennedy years at the White House to Camelot, the legendary court of King Arthur. Their remains, along with those of two of their children, are buried at Arlington National Cemetery, across the Potomac River from Washington. They are honored there with an eternal flame, one designed so the fire will never go out.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.